Blog Talk Radio.
We are recording. Amen, amen. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in this evening. We will be broadcasting from Waldorf, Maryland with Archbishop Larry D. Palmer. So our format this evening is we're going to have prayer from Mother Gloria from Call Unto Me Ministries, and the next voice you hear will be none other than Archbishop Larry D. Palmer. Amen. And we're looking forward to what God is going, how God is going to bless us this evening. My friend, as well as a man who knows the Lord. Amen. May God.
Amen.
Gloria.
Amen. 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 Good evening, Elder Dr. Clay and Dr. Suzanne Clay, truly. And to our speaker tonight, Archbishop Larry Palmer, it is truly an honor for me to be able to come to pray as the Holy Spirit led. I want to tell you, when you put that song on, all I could say is let the church say amen, and I'm finished. I'm done. To God be the glory. Let's go to the throne of grace and pray. Heavenly Father, our God, we come this evening once again corporately, God, to lift you up, to thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thanking you, God, how you allowed us to come together tonight, God, to feast at the table, God, and be blessed. And God, I pray for all of those that are on the line, no matter what they're going through, God, that they will put their trust in you tonight, and nobody will leave like they come, because the word of God says, come to me, all you who labor and heavily laden, I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Heavenly Father, somebody come tonight heavily burdened. Somebody come tonight with concerns. Somebody, God, needs you, God, to lift their burdens, God. Somebody needs to lay them down and let them know that there's nothing too hard for our God. So, God, we're praying, God, that you will shower down your blessings on this service tonight. Bless everyone individually and collectively according to what they're going to. And the word says, according to your faith, let it be to you. I pray, God, that they have great faith. I pray that they have mountain-moving faith to believe, God, that you are able. God, they're going to be blessed tonight by the man of God that's going to come, that's going to give them a word, God. And we thank you that in James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. God, give us patience, God, as we go through the different trials and tribulations in our lives, God. We ask, God, for healing, healing of our body, mind, and our soul as I bring my prayer to a close. I thank you for the opportunity, God, that you allowed me to come to pray for these, your people, God. So, God, I pray that you would bless them, God. I pray that they be encouraged. I pray that they be lifted up. I pray, God, that they lay every burden as they call on you and you said you would answer. Thank you for being a prayer-answering God. And thank you for what you're going to do tonight in the service. In Jesus' name, I pray now. Saints of God, let's give God some glory. You know how I go. You know how I roll, because God has been too good for us. He has kept us up into this present moment. And God, you've been good. And God, we want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Archbishop Palmer, amen. May God bless you.
Amen. Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, and thank you again for being part of the worship experience. We're going to have a wonderful time tonight as we study and look as an introduction to the book of Proverbs. This is a great book, a lot of wisdom in the book. And I'm going to open up with an introductory message to it so that we that read it, you know, I have read Proverbs over the years, and I used to read it sometimes, pick a month and take a Proverbs a day and read through them every month. And they would do me a lot of good. I don't know if they made me wiser, they made it a little better than what I was, but every now and again, I would grab a piece of fruit from that day of Proverbs and be able to use it in my life. So anytime that a scripture becomes life-changing for you, it is, in fact, giving you wisdom and it's giving you insight on the kingdom of God, which makes us all better. So tonight, I thank you. I'm glad that through this worship experience that the blog out of Cleveland has joined us, and we are coming in and smelting together and working together and doing things together in the name of Jesus. It just makes it wonderful. It's been a long day, for me, but I thank God that I'm able now to share even the more of what the Word of God has in store for us. The introduction to Proverbs, this book is a great book. The majority of the book is written by Solomon, not all of it, but the majority of it is. The book is full of wise things, and it's the textbook. It is the textbook of how people should live their godly lives. It tells you, and it kind of steps on your toe when you look at it and study it a little bit. It steps on your toe. It's not stepping on your toe, then you're living a perfect life. If you're living a perfect life, you're probably getting ready to go on to glory. So Proverbs is good for all of us to absorb it, to get a complete understanding of Proverbs. One must be one well versed in what's called simile. Anyone know what simile is? Anyone does this? Put up your hand. We're going to be interactive tonight, so put up your hand if you know what simile is. Well, let me explain. Simile is a figure of speech involving comparison of one thing with another of a different kind. And you have to understand that it's used to make a more descriptive, emphatic, or vivid line of what you're talking about. Proverbs is full of simile. Proverbs is also full of sarcasm. It's full of sarcasm. It uses a lot of irony to mark things, to convey the word of God to you. So when you read it and you're just reading it straight and you're not applying that simile or you're not applying that sarcasm, you could probably miss the point in which the writer is trying to get to you. So I just want to get you ready to understand, man, that's a little sarcastic, or that's a like as and not quite as, but it's a like as. And so we can understand it a lot better. Also, it has time to shift us over to metaphors. When you compare two things by talking about one thing and saying that it's like the other. So it has a lot of metaphors in it. And this is when I start to be able to understand Proverbs more, because you take it at face value and you take it at his word. Sometimes you miss what the word of God is conveying. And actually, it's just not in Proverbs. It's all through the Bible. You know, we on this line talk a lot of slang. We talk a lot of slang, you know, in our day. Oh, man, that's dope. You know, and I remember the first time I heard that. I was in Germany, Ramstein, Germany, and I was in charge of a certain section. I picked up this guy on the outside of base and took him in, and he said, oh, man, this car is dope. And I thought he said he had dope in the car. I just didn't pay attention. And you know, I said, man, I'm getting ready to go through the gate. You ain't not going to ruin my career. You about to get up out of here. So, you know, so you have those kind of takes, which means what he was saying, it was nice and it was good and all of this. But we have all of those kind of things even now. As a matter of fact, pick up and try to read some of our young kids' emails, not emails, but their text messages, and they're full of all of these types of things. You probably couldn't get the jump of what they're really saying. You might can be able to figure out some of it. But those of us and those of you who have grandchildren and teenagers and folks that have a different language than what we have, it's going to be difficult for you to figure out what they're saying. And if you figure it out, you may not have it all together. You may think you do, but you may not have it all together unless you understand that language, such as it is with Proverbs. And then you have this thing called figurative. It's this figurative language. It's when someone, they got away with murder. You know, that's figurative language. And so we have to understand that when we look at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs was written to give prudence to the simple knowledge and discretion really to the young men, to make the young men even wiser than they were. The Bible is written for us to have that prudent knowledge, for us to get wiser. Each time we read, this is why that we can read over a verse. We can read over a verse over and over again. And then we can get different revelations from the same thing we just read. You see, when I read the Bible in my teens, it didn't give me the same revelation that it gives me now. even though it was the same identical words in the Word of God. But now you've gotten wiser, you've gotten stronger, you have different experiences, you may have had children, things change because you become wiser in what it means to you and to others. So we look at Proverbs and we have to study it and know it in this dispensation. The key verse in Proverbs is a very, very popular verse. It's a very, very popular verse. And we're going to look at it and find it in Proverbs 1 and 7. It says, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Somebody tell me what fear is. I'm not going to go further. Somebody just speak, tell me what fear is. What is it saying there? The fear of the Lord is what?
Getting a knowledge.
Say again. What is the fear?
Reverence.
Yes. Reverence of the Lord. You have to revere the Lord. It's the reverence of the Lord. Watch this. It's the beginning. It is just the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is just, you don't have to know much. It's just the beginning of the Lord and of knowledge. But it says, on the contrary, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Let me just rest there a minute, because this verse is so impactful, and it has so much in it. And oftentimes we run over it without understanding, which we have to apply these things that I just gave you, a simile, metaphor, and the things that you apply and know. It's got a little chasm in it too. But it says the fool. Now what's a fool? Don't y'all start calling each other out. I'm not going to say that. That's not it. I'm talking about the one, and it tells you. I'm talking about the one who decides that they're smarter than God. The one who knows more than the word of the Almighty God. You have to rest there a minute. You have to pause there a minute so people can get it. I believe this. If you can grasp the first four words of the Bible, in the beginning, God. Boy, if you can grasp nothing else, don't put nothing else, say in the beginning, God. Because the argument
that comes is when you hear people
try to be deep and mysterious and all of this. Well, I want to talk about the pre-Adamic time. Now, listen to me. Why would you study something pre-Adamic when the Bible says, declares and decrees, that God created? Why do you want to go before that? Why would you waste your time and have to go before that if you believe in the beginning, God? I want to talk about the world before the world was made. Oh, my God. You know, that's just a waste of your time. It's almost like doing the same thing as the evolution, the Darwin theory. Darwinism is going to say, man, I want to prove that we came from the amoeba, and then we turn into a fish in the water, and then we turn into a walking fish, and then we turn into a chimp, and then we turn into, you know, the monkey, and then we went to the ape, and then we went to this. And I want to prove that we came up through that, and we became a Neanderthal, and we started walking, we started doing all of that. But I can't wait. Darwin stopped wasting his time with that crazy theory that he had. Amen. When said God is the creator of men and women. And when we can take that in the beginning, God, we can move further in the Bible than to try to go and expand the knowledge that God gave you. Amen. That God gives us and try to go another way. If you stay in that vein, then you fit the fool category. Hello, somebody. And so it's really a waste of our time. When we revere the Lord, when we revere the Lord, our knowledge, who we do not revere the Lord, when we do not revere the Lord, our knowledge is skewed. Everything about how we think is skewed when we do not revere the Lord. Amen. Not only just him, the Lord himself, but our total worldview is off-candid. I mean, you would think it's all right. It's almost like one of our former leaders that thought that I could walk down New York Avenue, shoot somebody in the head, and ain't nothing going to happen to me. Not to call a name, but you surely know who I'm talking about. And so your whole worldview becomes skewed because you do not revere the Lord. I believe that the word of God is the substance by which all things are measured. To say it again, I believe that the word of God is the substance by which all things are measured. Now, why I believe that? Because that's the mind that God has given me to keep me under the auspices of the Holy Ghost. I can't do anything in and of myself and do it right, even though I try to live a righteous life. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not going to happen. I might go off any time. Amen. I might go off on one of you. I might can do a little good for a little while, but I will certainly go off. Remember what Paul says when he gets this man to things that I don't want to do. That's the same thing that I find myself doing. I'm messed up. I'm jacked up. That's what he was saying. I'm in trouble. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to guide me. Remember, in all of us, there are two of us. And it is a war every day. It is a war every day. That's why the Bible says you have to what? Put on what?
Full armor
every single day. Dress up. Oh man, I want to get something that has more fad to it because you know I got another fad. But this armor, how we're dressed, fits every occasion. It fits everything. You don't have to change nothing, man. We can wear this for the rest of our. Isn't it wonderful to have? I put one item in your wardrobe, in your spiritual wardrobe. You don't have to have a whole lot of room. You don't have to have this. You don't have to go buy new shoes. You don't have to do none of this. You don't have to go prepare. Now, everything is good for the next day when you put on the full armor of God. It doesn't change. And when we do, and we dress right, God is well pleased with us. And guess what? The battle that we face that day, we're going to win because we have on the full armor of God. And no one can pierce that armor. And we have to remember that. We have to remember that. And how to wear it. It's a special way to wear it. You know, you don't put your helmet on your feet. You know, you put everything in place. And the reason that we get caught off guard, if you go back and look at your life, look over your life, look over your individual life and lives, is that when we get caught off, it's because we didn't dress up right. We didn't have the full armor on as we should have, amen, to face this horrible world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so we got to be mindful, put on the full armor of God. And then when we see what
amen.
About people of God have the armor on as they should, we have to help them. Here, by the way, look, your breastplate is loose back here. Let me tighten it up.
All right now. Yes.
That's so the devil won't be able to pierce through your armor. So we have to
be able to
take these criticism from our brothers and sisters, especially when they know mm-hmm. that our armor. No, you fix yours. I got mine. I want somebody to help.
Yes.
Get this war
yeah.
that it is going to check my six. Somebody's got my back. Amen. And that's what we ought
mm-hmm.
to do, one, especially in the body of Christ. Nobody should be able to talk about your sister or your, not but to you. Not
all
to
right.
you.
No.
You can't talk about my brother, my sister. You haven't talked to them yet. They can talk to me about brother. You got some art. You can't talk to them. You need to talk to them, then talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we get in trouble, because we receive stuff from people. We receive garbage from people. You keep receiving garbage from folks, they think you are a dump truck.
Mm.
And they come to dump stuff all the time. And if you keep taking stuff, after a while, you will have the character of a dump truck. You know what a dump truck is? It smells bad.
My God.
It looks bad. Amen. It's purpose for that. It's the purpose is to take junk, but not you. You are not designed to be a junk carrying machine.
Mm-hmm.
So don't. Amen.
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 So
amen.
There is a vast difference between knowledge, which is having a fact, and wisdom, being able to apply the facts that you have. There is a vast difference. And we have to, it's good to have knowledge. It's great to have knowledge. We got a lot of smart people, scholarly type people are all around us. But you know what they lack? Common sense. Common sense is attached to wisdom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they can't apply it because they don't have that power with it. Acts 1 and 8 says it very well. You shall receive power, but it won't come until the Holy Ghost will come upon you. You know what that means? Everybody can do it. Anybody can go get a Bible. Anybody can read the Bible. Correct. 2 Corinthians 14, I think it says, man, I want to put it in paraphrase, but the natural mind cannot discern the spiritual things of the Lord.
That's right.
In other words,
that's right.
Amen. But
amen.
Until you know that the Lord is God's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and by Him is the substance by which all things are measured, your natural mind will not be able to discern the spiritual things of the Lord. I have been, I don't know about you, but I have been there, trying to understand the Bible, trying to understand it, and it didn't make sense. And when I was in the world reading the Bible, I would get frustrated. And when I got frustrated with it, guess what I would do? Close that thing up. Oh, man, forget this thing. You know, this is... Let's go do something else. But that natural mind was trying to discern the spiritual things of the Lord, which they cannot. And with the body of Christ, being the body of Christ, have got to understand that that's where we were then, and that's where some of the people are now that you are trying to evangelize and get. They just cannot receive it yet. But please keep working with them. Eventually,
amen.
By the grace of
yes.
The Lord, and by that the power of the Almighty God will come upon them, and they will be able to receive the same thing you said. Anybody here have children, been around children? Hang on, just put your hands in the air. And so have you ever been to the place where you as a parent or you as an adult told a child the exact same thing that somebody else told the child, and they received it from them, but they couldn't receive it from you?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. You know, I used to feel bad. I used to coach young kids, football coach, and, man, they would listen to me. The coach said, I mean, you know, the boy's daddy would come up, yeah, but the coach said, you know, and what the coach said. That kind of made me feel bad sometimes. But, you know, that's your daddy over there. You know, come over here and say what the coach thing that he told him to do. But by the coach telling him to do it, he would do it. If you don't go home and do your homework, you cannot play in Saturday's game. Amen. If you don't make at least a 2.5 average, you won't be able to play on the team. Those type things that were being encouragement. But I'm sure in many cases they were getting the same thing at home, but they just wouldn't receive it from that point. So other people can actually help in the body of Christ. And that's what I hope that you would do with the knowledge that you have. Apply that wisdom to it so you will be able to penetrate somebody and talk to them about the goodness of the Almighty God. So we can see the advantage.
Alexa,
but knowledge.
Pause.
Well, I know a little something. Boy, it's kind of, we used to say it's dangerous when you get to the point you know a little something. Amen. And when you know a little something, you try to impress folks. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you know the stuff, we just try to impress people about the things that we know. I can speak Greek and I can speak Hebrew, but I don't have any. So I struggle to live a life pleasing in the sight of the Lord. So knowledge is just not it. It has to be combined with the wisdom of the Almighty God. We can be very, 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 very bright, but we can be dark as far as our spiritual lives are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And so we know Solomon. Solomon is a young man. Oh, I think Solomon was 12 years old. I have to go back to the scripture. 8 or 12, I forget. But he was a young man.
Mm-hmm.
And he taken over the kingship. And he asked God to endow him with something that was more than knowledge. More than knowledge. Why? Because he was not sustain his kingship, knowledge alone. And he said, God, give me the wisdom to be able to guide these people, which now call me king. Ooh, that's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. If you try to work on knowledge alone, I guarantee you it was going to fail. It's going to fall off just as sure as you and I are on this screen or on the Facebook or whatever we find ourselves on, because knowledge alone won't take you there. It'll hold you for a little while, and people will think you really got it for a little while. But when the Spirit of the living God doesn't rest with you, it starts to fall off immediately. And people will see that you just have knowledge but no wisdom. Solomon knew that he was going to have to deal with grown folks. Solomon knew he was going to have to deal with grown folks. So he said, man, I need wisdom. Knowledge is just not going to tell it. I need wisdom. These folks, like many of us, with a little gray on our hair, on our head, have been around a little while. That's why they always apply wisdom to the gray hair that we have. Oh, they've been around a little while, so they know a little something. Amen. And they're probably wise enough to apply it. Amen. So we got that wisdom that the Lord gives us by being part of the body of Christ. Oh, boy. Folks that know a lot, folks that know a lot, they love to talk a lot. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Folks that know a lot, they love to talk a lot. They have been well-versed in themselves, so they like to take over the conversation and let you know what they know. That's not wise all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not wise. I love the formula of what in the chaplain world is what's called MOP, M-O-P. Sometimes God puts you in a place where you go to a place, and your job is nothing but MOP. And that stands for the ministry of presence. It's not for you to say anything. It's just for you to be there. And you have to be wise enough to understand when to apply what it is that God is putting in your spirit. Just because you know it doesn't mean you have to show it. Hello, somebody. And so when we know when to apply that wisdom, God is giving us that power through the offices of the Holy Spirit. This is just the introduction on how to understand the Proverbs. Let me give you a couple more. God blesses Solomon with unmatched wisdom. Amen. At some point, you said, man, what do I really want? Do I want wisdom or do I want knowledge? Amen. Which one would you do? Think about it for a second.
Wisdom.
Do I want wisdom or do I want knowledge? Proverbs are going to help us and tell us, for us that know now that wisdom is the power that's following you. But the thing that is wise enough to us to say is, I know Solomon asked for what and to whom? He asked for wisdom, but he asked it from the wise man ever, and he asked it from the Lord. So, you know, we need it from the Lord. It's terrible to be around a know-it-all.
Amen.
My God. I just know, I don't care what subject you bring up, I know something about it. You know, so I'm going to take over the conference. Just know it all. Solomon's wisdom ends it in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a guideline. It's a collection of wise statements that is divided by and helps to catapult us to higher ground. Higher ground. That's what these proverbs do. That's why they're going to be so powerful as we go through them and learn them and break them down and unpack them so we can see them. And then we'll understand how they apply to our lives. Don't go out and try to find out what happened to somebody else. I mean, how does this a proverb apply to me?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Hundreds of practical examples we're going to go are provided through the wisdom of this writer. And they point right back to obedience of the word of God and godly wisdom. Obedience to the word of God and godly wisdom. We're going to discover that unpacking these scriptures, pearls, range from the topic to include the youth, of course, that's who Solomon was. So he was really focusing on the youth. Solomon was very young. I'll tell you, he was about 12 years old when he took over the kingdom. And then they start talking about, this is all in Proverbs. It talks about family life. I like the next one. It talks about self-control. Ooh, I love that one. When you start talking about self-control, because you ought to be able to control yourself by now in the body of Christ. You be able to control yourself by now. Amen. Resisting temptation. Anybody here? Oh, it's tough. Anybody had to resist temptation this week?
Every day.
You know, you're tempted. I don't even see how you teach school. I tried it. I tried teaching seventh grade math. That was going to be my profession when I got out of the service. It's to teach seventh grade math. I don't see how you do it. Because as much as I tried to teach on that board, I had a 12-year-old boy to come up and help me change my mind and told me that's not where I need to be. He don't know he changed, but he changed my mind. he came up, and I'm a grown, fit, retired military man. I was 38, 39, or whatever I was, but I was a young dude. I mean, I was pretty fit, and I thought I had it going on. You know, me and Bruce Lee and all the rest of them. But he challenged me. I mean, he come up in my face.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, my Lord, you know, something's going to have to happen now. If I don't do something to him, all the rest of them going to challenge me. And I said, but he's 12. He's a kid. You know, so I sent him to the principal's office, and he looked at me as he was going out to him, and he said, I'll just be right back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I said, yeah, okay, yeah, the principal's going to tag your little self. He went up there. Sure enough, man, it wasn't 10 minutes. And he didn't come back. And so that just gave him more power. And all the kids thought, so, you know, when you need to move back. When this thing gets up in your, it kind of gets up in your nose a little bit, you start feeling it coming on. And, you know, I felt it, and I said, man, I want to slam dunk this little boy, just as small as he was. Now, I had my children that were his age, and none of them had ever challenged me like that. Amen. So I knew then, I said, no, because, you know, I'm gone. Something in me. I told you, and all of us, there are two of us, as much as I'm trying to live a faith, like that other one was saying, slamming. So I say, you know, it's not for me because I'm probably going to be the one up in the principal's office and I won't be coming back in 10 minutes. So that wasn't something. So that self-control is big. And resisting temptation because you're always tempted to do something. The adversary wants to get us in a position where we're tempted to go against the principles of the kingdom of God. You know, excuse me, the ordinances of the kingdom of God. That's his job. And he's on it every day. And he studies it every day, studies you every day to see how to move you away from the kingdom of God. And that chance shall come in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And if you're not covered with the power of the Holy Spirit, you will yield to that temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody. Business matters.
Yeah.
These words about business matters. It's about words of the tongue knowing the Lord thy God. It's about marriage. Lord, have mercy. Proverbs got some good stuff in it about marriage, wealth and poverty, immorality, and then, of course, wisdom. All of that is going to come through studying of the Proverbs. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time in the Lord. It may take us a little time to get there, but it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful study in the Word of God. We're getting close to leaving the station now. I'm getting ready to get to Chapter 1, so somebody shout, all aboard.
All aboard.
You get, take off. We get
all aboard.
All aboard. So the Proverbs contain a holy mixture of common, listen, it contains a holy mixture of common sense. Proverbs contains a holy mixture of common sense, and it has timely warning for each and every one of us. The word itself comes from the Hebrew word, which means to govern, or Proverbs, to govern or to rule. If it means to govern or to rule, to us it must mean and be attached to some authority. Amen. And that authority is of the Lord. Always check the source of your assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Always check source of your assignment.
Amen.
The fool is portrayed as the wicked one who hates and ignores God and is too stubborn to follow his precepts. Too stubborn. I used to be a fool. I didn't know it, but I was. Amen. And before you knew the Lord, you wasn't Miss Goody Two Shoes or Mr. Goody Two Shoes either. Amen. Because you had some flaws in you too. Amen. My assignment was always there, but I ignored it. I couldn't wait the Friday night to launch off to the club. Amen. Religiously. Listen to that term. Religiously. I would do it religiously. Every Friday, I thought I was going to miss something if I didn't make it every Friday night. Not once, you know. So now we complain about going to church once a week. But every Friday night, I could find my way to the club because that's where I thought the party was. And so I got there. I would get up. And here's the other little demon that was waiting on me to get there. Amen. Here come Palmer, lady, clear the foosball table. Here comes blah 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 blah, and I would jump right on the foosball table. And I wasn't a drinker, but they would line it up. I mean, they wouldn't give you a dime, but they would line it up with drinks. Amen. How the world operates. Amen. And later on on Friday night, if you went to a place that had a cover charge, I guarantee you, whoever you were with would help you to get into place. Demons stick together. Lord, help us church folks. Amen. Lord, help us church folks to be that power. If I came to church and I didn't have an offering to put in church, would you give me an offering to put in the offering basket? Now, you need to ask, what's wrong with you? But in the world, man, I don't have no money to get a drink. Don't worry about it, bro. I got it, man. We in this together. Boom. And it would turn over. It was just that. And guess what? I can think back on it now. It's a shame. Never look for a return. They would just throw it on you and never look for a return. But in the body of Christ, we got this thing about us that we hold people accountable for the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, have mercy, Jesus. So we have to study these proverbs. These proverbs are going to give us some kind of, in contrast, I talked about this before, but in contrast, the wise person, they seek the love of the Lord. You can solve a lot of your issues by just seeking the love of the Lord. That's why WWJD was so popular. I mean, it rolled out there with millions. Everybody, man, what would Jesus do? It was a popular thing, and well so, because it said, I'm going to put my mind on these, what would the Lord do? I want to put my mind on these scriptures. What would the Lord do in this instance? I remember playing basketball, and I just had a good day. Every now and then you have a good day in anything you do in the sports where you play long enough. And it was one of those days, just didn't seem like I could miss. And the guy that was guarding me got frustrated. And I could see him getting frustrated. And so the ball would come to me, boom, but it released. Now it's just hot. And every time you're hot, the people on the team would feed you because they want to win. Amen. And bam, bam, bam. So all of a sudden, he wasn't even going for the ball, but he hit me across the face. Now, I was newly saved, and so the other one, the other man, y'all know two of us came up in it. I told you that before, and all of us, two of us. So the other one came up, you know, and I wanted to, I really wanted to do him real bad. But, you know, I'm in the military, and you know, I got to face that if I get in a fight and all of that stuff. And, you know, I'm trying to live a life for the Lord. And I got to say, man, you know, you the beat 'em up saint. You the guy that beat up everybody and all of that. So, you know, I said, man, look, I'm done. Hey, you know, I'm done. So I walked off the course, man, and I went into the sauna. And, of course, so you sweat in the sauna, as you know, those who have been in it. And it gave me the opportunity to kind of shed a tear without knowing that you're shedding the tear because I was just that mad. I was just that blown up because I knew that I had lost and was really losing my control. Amen. And it was really in a bad, bad way. So when I left, little did I know, the other guys on the court were really beating him up. Telling him, man, you blah, 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 blah. What do you mean? You scored the game and you're doing all of this. And I didn't know that I'm back in the sun. And so they said, no, I'm a sale, man. Give me a little blah, blah. They would use some choice words on him and all of that. I said, no, man, you know, I'm done. I'm going to go back anyway. And all of that. And so I put the towel over my head, and then I heard the door open. And shut. Boom. Like that, you know. And I'm sitting on the step. And I looked up from the towel, and it was him. And, man, he was trying with everything to figure out how to say that he was sorry for what he did. Finally, he went on, apologized, and I thought to myself right then, if I had taken the other road,
mm-hmm.
you see, mm-hmm. if I had taken the low road and got into it with it, he would probably never, if ever, think the saints of God or living a holy life was real.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know how God is going to, you don't know how God is going to use you to be that one for the life of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. So let me get back. People just don't read the word, but they act on it. In other words, you have to live it. When you see these proverbs, live what it says. In order to test the proverbs, live what it says. Live, make sure that your actions are louder than just your words. Live what it says. You're getting too far. You're getting too far in the process already. This journey that we're doing is going to be based on wisdom. It's going to tell us how to treat one another. God gives us a great path. God gives us a great path to follow and how to relate to one another. Anybody got problems relating to another saint of God? Be honest. Yeah. It's just, hey, I just can't, I see your hand. It's just, ooh, they just get on, I'm trying to love, but they just get on my nerves. They just, you get that thing. And what you miss is that's really killing your witness. It's not them that's suffering. It's not them that's suffering, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
When you got to someone that's in the service or you come to church, you're getting a setting, and you can't even get your praise on because they're in the house, then they don't have the problem because they're probably praising God and getting what they, but it's you. And the reason that you keep coming up with them or coming into them or bumping them, God has to develop you. You have got to get over it. So all the time, listen to me, mm-hmm. every time, God is going to put somebody that you can't stand in your way.
Mm.
Amen. Especially if you want to be a child of the living God. You're going to have to defeat that enemy. Hello, somebody. Mm. And so we find ourselves fighting within ourselves, trying to make ourselves better. But it's easy when we draw on the right strength pull on the string of the Spirit of the living God, things are always, some people spend years of their lives living on the other side, professing to be a child of the living God. I mean, years, I'm talking about preachers, teachers, holy ones, all live on the other side instead of being on the side of Christ. That's all they have to do is yield. Oftentimes, it's all we have to do is yield. Amen. I was speaking today. You don't have to be the one that's right all the time. Even if you're right sometimes. Nope, I'm right, that's it. I'm right, that's it. Nope. Sometimes you have to yield. Look, if I'm going to help you grow, if I'm going to help you grow, I don't have to be right, even though I am. Ooh, that's a hard one. That's a real hard one. I'm my ground. The Lord told me to stand my ground. No, he didn't. The Lord told me to stand my ground. No, he didn't. The Lord told me to stand my ground. No, he didn't. That's what it's not what he did. All you do is stand. Stand. That ain't what the Lord said. That's evil. That's just mean. Amen. I don't need the hands coming out of mouth. Amen. So you can yield. You know why I know? Jesus did. And he was all right. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? See that talking? He was all right. He was all right all the time.
All the time.
And he stood right there and let the wrong thing as though they were right. You know why? Because it was for me and for you.
Amen.
It was all for me and for you. He could have said, man, I'm right and I'm not going to cross. Amen. I'm Jesus and it just ain't going to happen. And what he saw about me and you. Amen, somebody. If we refuse to hear, and follow the GPS of our relationship, we will all suffer. You know, God positioning system. If we just don't follow that relationship, that God, you know, the GPS tells us that you always try to outwit. Why do people use GPS? Only not to follow it. The GPS tells you that it's going to take 20 minutes and 30 seconds to get to your destination. I can beat that. I'm going to take a shortcut. I can do that. Yeah. Only to find out that the cut you made has a detour. The GPS told you the right way to go, and you want to outwit it. I can see the smirk on your face. Many of you have tried it. Amen. And you fail. God's position system is the same thing. We often want to outsmart and outwit what the word of the Lord says. Proverbs is just giving that anchor. If you do this, this is going to be a result. Try this. Make sure you stay on this path. That's what the Proverbs are. Amen. Amen. Too many church folks. Too many church folks are at odds. I want to take my time right here. There's too many church folks that are at odds with one another, both claiming to know the Lord, and both are operating as the Lord. That's scary. That's scary. That's real. Amen. In other words, there's no oil in the lamp. And you know what? Just like the five virgins, there's going to be a day that the bridegroom comes. And you don't have oil in your lap because you're not wise enough to get past the thing that's bothering you. You may, in fact, miss glory. In other words, you are moral. Proverbs is a tough book. And I mean, I'm doing it easy. I'm trying to take it easy. But Proverbs will lay the truth down on you. And, I mean, if you read it and you take it, you will learn from it. And if you learn from it, just start doing some things a little bit under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. If we live a prudent life, acting out and showing out the thought of the things that was in us, be disciplined and wisdom will come upon us. And guess what? Wisdom will prevail. That's what Proverbs is all about. Wisdom is a great, 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 great time in the law. Let's take off from chapter 1. All of that as an introduction. And you know why the introduction is important? Because you have to be anchored in what you're getting in. Bible in the Bible, the first four words is the introduction of the Word of God. And if you can take that, you can take the Bible and go all the way through in the beginning, God. I don't doubt God. I don't shun away from what the Lord's Word says in the Word of God. I don't try to rearrange it. I don't try to fix it. I don't try to do anything, handle it. I believe it in the name of Jesus. And if you believe it, the rest of the Bible becomes a lot easier for you to receive. Amen. As you know, follow the young folks. A lot of this applies to the young folks and getting any young folks. It's a great study for the young people to know. It really is. I don't know who's on the line, but this is a great study for our youth. When I was young, I wanted to be grown. I wanted to be grown right away. Some of you did too. Not knowing that men being grown meant responsibilities which I was not ready to embrace. But I wanted to be grown. I wanted to be like I was 13, 14 years old, don't know anything, barely can't wipe my nose, but I wanted to be treated like I was grown. Amen. That was not wise. Stay young as long as you can be young, and then when you're grown, you can get out and do some things. But most of my wisdom came from elder folks in the community. When they spoke, you listened. They were authorized and granted parental care of your soul. If they told you to go home, you didn't have no talk back, no like they have now. You went home. And it was the strangest thing even now. Something would happen. We went to a school called Dunbar. Something would happen up at Dunbar. By the time we got back over on Pine Street, the parents already knew, and there were no cell phones. There were barely any telephones. Wait, because they had party lines. Amen. But by the time you got home, your mama or your daddy knew exactly you were the class clown for today. And that's about a little bit of discipline. Amen. Amen. So we go to school praying for discipline, go up there and cut up and act a fool in school, and discipline is going to find your address. Not now and not today. Not now and not today. I tell you another thing that turned us in school. The children were so bad, and they go home and talk and tell their parents about the bad day they have. Next thing you know, you have to face the parent. The parent comes up to protect the child. Well, I never did want a bad report. Amen. I just didn't want one. When I was in school, my parents used to check the left side of the report card. Now, you don't even know what I'm talking about. But on the left side of the report card, used to reveal your conduct. How you did in school and how they thought about you as a student. They looked at that before they even looked to the right side to see how your grades were. And if your conduct was bad, don't make no difference what kind of knowledge you had. If your conduct was bad, then you were in trouble. So we have to teach our children, use wisdom. Amen. Use wisdom. Whatever they, and even before the T-shirt was done, just do it. Use wisdom. Believe the Lord. No lips. I can't. Ooh. Let me tell you, for me, I'm just going to give you my right here. I think one of the worst things for me now is to see an ungodly child. An ungodly child. Amen. One that's just out of control. Amen. That is hard to receive, especially when it's a saint of God's child. Just one out of control. Because you look at the parents and say, what have you been giving them? What are you thinking? I'm getting close to my time. What are you thinking? So let me move forward. We got another minute. Yes. The fear of the Lord. Let me round it up. The fear of the Lord is beginning to knock. The fool despises, and they will not yield to discipline. If you're ever in a conversation with somebody that knows it all, let them know it all. Let them get all. The time you try to challenge them about how much they know is the fuel that they receive from you. Let them know it all, and you just be it all in the body of Christ. You just be it all. That's wisdom in the name of Jesus. Chapter 1 goes through. There's some warnings. There's two sets of warnings. and then I'm gonna pull over and pray. When you get to verse 8 to 19, it talks about the first warning. That's the warning of enticement. And everybody knows what enticement is. Because the devil entices us to do some crazy things all the time. The second warning is the warning against rejection. All of us have been rejected. All of us have been rejected in one time or the other. And you have to have the wisdom to know how to deal with rejection. I know our time is well spent. It's about the time of 8 o'clock when we cut. I would love to finish up a lot of this on Proverbs, but I wanted you to get the groundwork on Proverbs, how Proverbs is going to be helpful to you and useful to you if we know and understand how to study it. So I pray, and I beseech you by the mercy of God to apply those principles in which we talked about tonight. Know that God will work with you if you understand the proverb. Just don't read it. Understand it, and then try to live it. Apply it to your life and watch what God will do. I read the proverb often, and I will read them again this year. And every day, again, I will read one and try to apply it to my life, because every day my life changes, so every day the proverbs gives me new revelation. Amen. Bless you. I thank you again for coming on tonight. I'm going to let Ella say and give the closing remarks. And be blessed. We love you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Archbishop Palmer. We thank you so much for introducing the Book of Proverbs, and we're looking forward to gaining wisdom as we study this together. Amen. For those of you that tuned in, you can go to Blog Talk Radio, type in We Can Begin Again, and you can pull up this message, share it with a friend. May God bless you. Until next week.
Amen. Love you.
Thank you.